Praise you, Lord. We exalt you this morning,
yes,
Lord.
Yes, amen.
Above all things, Lord, we say we love you. Hallelujah. Let me be that river, the outflow that flows from you. I can't hold it all. I can't contain it. Let it flow from you through me. Let everybody's prayer be that today. I don't want your flow to stop in me, and I don't want my flow to stop in you. Let it flow. Let it flow. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Say, I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
More than that, I trust you.
More than that, I trust you.
Hallelujah. With that, y'all may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
You know, no matter what the situation, if there is one, the more time that goes by, the more reason we have to love God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, let's pray again right quick, please. Father, we come hungry and thirsty for you.
Yes.
We're not satisfied, not because we're just stubborn and silly people, but according to your word, we're not satisfied with just your love. We need your understanding. And I don't mean grace and mercy. I mean we need to understand you and your word.
Yes. Yes.
We desire, again, to know what you know, see what you see, feel what you feel.
Yes.
We don't care about denomination. We don't care what about the preacher up the street is saying. We need to know you.
Yes.
What you meant for us to understand through your word.
Yes.
We want to live and move and have our being in that today.
Amen.
Not one of these days, but today.
Yes.
We want to grow. And we refuse to leave here the same. Let that spirit of truth fall on us.
Yes.
That spirit of truth cleanses us from all unrighteousness.
Yes.
And all misunderstanding. Whether we meant it or not, cleanse us from misunderstanding.
Yes.
We receive that with thanksgiving in advance in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, if you will, I want you to turn to the book of Genesis. That should not be too hard for you to find. Just don't start at the back. I want to start today a series that I don't know exactly how long it's going to take. But the title of it is God's Will is a Trip. Alrighty, God's Will is a Trip. This is part one. Today we're going to do an overview. Overview means you're going to get to see the front and the back, and then we're going to go back to the front. Sometimes you need to understand the back before you can see the front. This series is going to concern God's will from start to finish. And I want to try to cause us to see with understanding how God begins something, how He nurtures it and protects it, and how He does have a conception already designed with a finish. We're going to look at the life of Joseph, and hopefully, as the Spirit of Truth helps us, it's going to show us a life of ours that's parallel to Joseph's.
Amen.
And that means, since I'm already going to tell you this morning about the victory, then you're going to be planning for victory in your life.
Amen.
No matter where you are. In other words, we're going to cause faith to grow. And if you will, stand with me. The reading of one verse. I try not to keep you standing too long. Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. I will read to you from New King James, so that's not too far from anything that you're holding. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. This is Joseph saying to his brothers that had tried to kill him, that had sold him, that had mistreated him. Now understand again, I want to preface the scripture with this is after much, much, much problems. Through faith, Joseph now had an overview. He had an understanding. And so we're going to start with that in our lives today. But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good.
Amen. Yes.
In order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive, or to save many lives. I'm going to read it to you again. I want you to stick with me. Most of you already know that Joseph had gone through much, much problem, threat, near-death experience, slavery, everything unimaginable because of his brothers. Now, that's what most of us would say. Because of his brothers, he'd gone through this. But now he's saying with understanding, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, or to bring about this day, to save many people's lives." Y'all may be seated. We've talked about this before. The only way to get a truth is to approach it from many different angles. Think on it a lot. You know, you all are familiar with Jeremiah 29:11, which says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." How many times in our lives do we forget that basic premise? When things get a little tough, when things get a little rough, they get a little scary, we forget that God's number one in control. And number two, His control is going to yield to us prosperity, protection, hope, and a future. Now, we've been studying the Holy Spirit, and I understand the Holy Spirit's job is to remind us of these things. But He doesn't remind us with 2x4s. He reminds us with a gentle voice. It's up to us to open up our yaps and repeat what we already know. Not what somebody else is saying. Not the experience you just went through. Did you know you don't ever have to tell God about the experience you just went through?
That's right.
When you go to God and you start explaining to Him what happened, you are in error. Because you don't even understand what you just went through. And He does. So you're already misunderstanding and mis-explaining. The proper procedure would be, "I don't know what I just went through, but I trust you, Lord.
Amen.
I'm not here to tell you how it's supposed to be. I'm here to dwell in you, to take joy and peace and comfort in you. And I'm looking forward to the day that I understand." Amen?
Amen.
The trouble is in our daily walk, and all of us go through this, that sometimes the pressures get so great that we kind of, if we're smart, we don't complain. But there's not too many of us that are real smart. We just complain. And if we can't complain, we shut down. If we've learned to control our tongues a little bit, now the shutdown is better than the complain. Because at least when you shut down, you shut up. And God can say something to you. He has a hard time communing with you, fellowshipping you, speaking to you, when all you want to do is talk about tragedy and problems and blah, blah, blah. And all He can reply to you is, "You evidently don't know who I am."
That's right.
I'm not the complaint desk. I'm the guy. I'm the one that has planned your life from front to end, from beginning to end. I'm the one that has a will about you from beginning to end. Jeremiah 29:11, don't y'all remember? "I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you. Therefore, good." So what do you hear? Are you accusing me of something? Wouldn't it be nice to hear God talk back once in a while? We might if we'd hush. You know, if you think I'm a complaint desk, God would say, "Take a number. I'll get around to you." Now, if you want fellowship, you want communion, you want some truth and light and life, you hush and I'll speak. You hush, and I'll speak. Sometimes the pressures of life bring us to a point where we really begin to question if God is even cognizant of the fact that we're alive. You want to say, "God, you remember me?" Come on, don't look at me that way.
That's right.
That look is an accusation, and I'm the only one that's ever felt that way. Do you really have a plan for me? Are you really on my side? Am I really where I'm supposed to be? Now let's go back to Joseph. Can you imagine how many times he said that? See, what we need to do is relate to people that have had problems so our problems, number one, won't look so big, and number two, so that we find out how they end up. Now, where was Joseph when he said this? Y'all that know this story. I'm going to give you a little short oversight this morning. We're going to start the hardcore series probably Sunday after next. Yeah.
When his brothers came back to Egypt to get food.
To who?
Joseph came back to Joseph.
Joseph was thrown, they threw him in a pit. How'd he get there? They sold him into slavery. How'd he get where he was?
God's plan.
Where was he? Do what? He was in control of all wealth and all food. He just about controlled the kingdom of Pharaoh. Now they threw him in a ditch and said, that didn't make us any money. Now let's drag him out of that ditch and sell him into slavery. That was their opinion of him. Why? Do you remember why? Because he had a dream. You can back up to chapter 37, I believe it is. Here's his dream. He went and he made a mistake and he told. Here's a thing I want to tell you point blank. If you really think God's impressing on you about something it's going to happen in your life, keep it to yourself. Between you and God. Future plans are not something that you share with anybody. Why? Well, he shared with his brothers. He wasn't trying to be egotistical. He wasn't trying to be ornery. He's trying to be honest. And usually in the Christian community, honesty gets you in more trouble than anything else.
That's right.
Because everybody thinks you're dishonest. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed your sheaves, this is verse 7, stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brother said, shall you reign over us? See, they didn't even understand. They got the vision as what with him. Actually, their vision was more sure than his. He just saw sheaves. They said, you're going to reign over us? See, they got it. They didn't like it. Then he had another dream. So he told his father and his brothers. At this time, verse 9, time, the sun, the moon, the 11 stars bowed down to me. Now he's getting bigger britches yet. He said, the whole universe bowed to me. What did his father and brothers say? His father rebuked him, verse 10, and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? The brothers envied. The father kept the matter in mind. Yeah, he kept it in mind all right, saying, pfft. That's what he said. Now that's where it began. What did it lead him to? The pit. And I'm going to say it, you'll hear this again. They stripped him of his calling, or they tried to of his gifting. His father gave him a gift, coat of many colors. They stripped him of that. That's an attempt of the enemy to try to strip you of your gifting. They threw him in a pit. Then selfishness stepped in. Envy wasn't enough. Jealousy wasn't enough. Greed stepped in, which all of those go hand in hand. One of my grandmother's sayings, man that'll lie to you will steal from you. Man that'll steal from you will kill you. Just keep it in mind. Man that'll lie to you will steal from you, and a man that'll steal from you will kill you. If you just put that in your book, you'll stay away from liars. And they won't have a place. They said, we got to make money off this deal. They sold into slavery. Pharaohs are the people that were in Pharaoh's kingdom. He went downhill from them. What do you think? Listen to me carefully. Put yourself in those shoes. What do you think Joseph thought about his dreams right about that time? That's right. I wish I'd have never heard them. I wish I'd have never spoken. I don't know what in the world I put my faith in them for.
Yeah.
Y'all ever said that?
Oh, yeah.
Y'all ever said that about anything that God's ever spoken to you? That's right. Look where it got me. But Joseph stayed true. I didn't say he didn't have questions. I said he stayed true. Don't you ever worry about the questions you have for God. You just worry about your answer. Look at, let me look just a little further. Verse, maybe I've got it written down here. 37. Yeah, look at verse 13. This is what God was looking for. 37:13. This is Genesis 37:13. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." So he said to him, "Here I am." This was Joseph's heart. Here I am. He wasn't trying to be the Lord over brothers or father or anybody else. He was actually being a servant when he reported the dreams. It was just out of time. His response there was, "Here I am." Now, do you know that, how can I say this and not mess you up? Being a little naive is one of the garments of faith. See, most people think that not being naive, being aware, is expecting bad. Come on, think about it with me. Y'all don't get slow here. Those people that anticipate danger, harm, and evil are given the credit of being aware. That's not the case. Joseph already knew his brothers didn't like what he said. He should have. Oh, he should have anticipated them doing something wrong. No, he's a man of faith. What he was saying is, nothing bad can happen to me. Yeah, but he ended up in the pit and being so. Is that right? Is that bad? We read chapter 50, verse 20. Was it bad?
No.
See, our problem is that we refuse to take Jeremiah 29:11 as the final thing in our life. There is no other statement. If God has thoughts for you that are good, what is going to be the final outcome in your life no matter what?
Good.
And everything in between is not open for our judgment.
That's right.
We are to say, that's good. We are to say, praise the Lord in all things.
Yeah,
right?
Good.
Now, I'm teaching hard stuff. This is hard, I'm telling you this morning. It's not easy. This is a hard thing to do. Don't hear me say, I want to tell you that this is so easy, just do it. Because this is a lot of work, just do it.
Yes.
Just do it, still the same answer. But understand, you're not alone. Not from the foundation of the earth are you alone. Have you been alone? Those things are common to men that we see as life-threatening. You know, it's amazing to me that we will say this. I nearly lost my life in this accident or whatever. Is that a fact? You must not think that God had a plan for you. I've been guilty of that. Whether it's when I was blown off the face of the earth, it was the first eight car wrecks I was in. It doesn't make any difference what it is that you're talking about. Run over by a tractor, all this stuff. Oh, I nearly lost my life. No, I didn't. No, somebody was holding my life.
That's right. Amen.
All those other things I just as soon not got through. But if I hadn't gone through them, I wouldn't be whoever I am now.
That's right.
And that's the way Joseph was. Joseph would have never understood. If he'd been raised in a wealthy home, he would have never understood hunger and poverty. He had to go through the slavery to understand what a slave feels. He had to go through the pit to understand what a pit feels, how a pit feels. He had to go through some hunger before he could understand what those hungry people feel.
Right.
He had to go through this to be the called man of God that he was called to be.
Right.
Amen? By the way, any question in your life, did you know that no question in your life has ever been placed there by God? I'm not talking about question what's going on in your life, not a simple childlike question. Question the fact, where am I called? Am I where I'm supposed to be? Am I doing, is God really interested in me? Those are put there by the enemy to thwart the plan of God.
Yes, right.
You need to stop taking these things personal. All right, let me say it another way. There's never been an attack mounted against you. It's only been mounted against God.
That's right. Yeah.
Does that make more sense?
Yeah.
Our trouble is we want to take them personal.
Yeah.
God, why are you allowing this to happen to me?
Yeah.
Anybody ever have a child go through a problem? Well, why? And on the child, all ever he does is say, woe is me. And yet you hurt for them maybe more so than they do. That's the way God is. God is interested. He knows. If he knows the very number of this hair right here, then he knows what that hair is going through. You don't have to tell him. He knows. He knew before you asked what you had need of. So he must know where you are.
That's right.
His job is to kill God or kill the plan of God. Do you understand Satan again? If God's after your call, if he's after your, the job you have to do, he's really after God.
Mm-hmm.
And if we love God and we respect him, we'll defend him.
That's right. Yeah.
In other words, we'll take it on the chin for him.
Yeah.
A Western yesterday where there had been all kinds of problems in this business, this mining business. And I hadn't been watching a movie. I just turned it on to cool off for a minute. It was hot yesterday, but in case anybody wants to know. But they blamed this man for all their problems when it was really his brother that was doing all the bad deeds, setting the fires and all the stuff to kill the business. The boss said, ever since you came to work here, we've had this problem, that problem, that problem. Have you got anything to say? And he wouldn't say anything. He said, okay, then you're fired. He said, okay. Got anything else to say to me? No. So when he left, one of his friends said, you can't go now. And he said, yeah. But tell him that I'm this guy's brother. And I don't understand the whole movie. I just understand that all of a sudden the light came on. But he didn't tell him. He wouldn't reveal that because he wanted to go take care of the problem himself. He had so much respect for the boss. He had so much respect for himself that he wouldn't degrade himself to defend. Do you hear what I'm saying? He wouldn't degrade himself to defend himself. He wouldn't point to somebody else because he respected that person, even though he was going to go out and have him arrested. Now, if it had been us, we'd have been shooting our mouths off like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And shooting our mouths off, blaming everybody in the world. Say, I'm innocent. Come on, how many times do we spend 3/4 of our time in prayer defending ourselves to God?
Yes, yes.
I haven't developed it yet, but I tell you, God put something in my spirit yesterday that said this. If you respect me, you'll never argue with me. You won't question me. If you respect me, you won't question me. You won't argue with me. I haven't developed that yet. It's going to develop in my heart as time goes. I know. It's one of those statements that's got to, you got to take a little bit at a time. You can't take it all at one time.
Yes.
These are the five topics we're going to cover in this series. The number one, God's will revealed. God's will revealed. And I want you to do something for me. I'm going to give you about 2 weeks to pray and make sure that God has spoken to you about something. Now, I know he has. So it's a loaded question. If you ask God, did you ever speak to me? He's going to remind you of what he spoke to you about a long time ago. Okay?
Amen.
And the reason I'm saying a long time ago is because whether you're 10 or 100, it's still a long time ago. It's all relative.
That's right.
That's number one. God's will revealed. In other words, do I understand God's will? Number two, a willing heart is what God requires to hold and do his will. A willing heart, not an intelligent heart, but a willing heart is what God requires to hold and to do his will. Number three, and you can go read these chapters so you'll be prepared. But number three is there's always a Reuben. There's always a Reuben. There's always a Reuben. A man named Reuben. Like I said, you want any more information, you need to start about chapter 36 and go through 50. Number four. God always provides for the carrier of His will. God always provides for the carrier of His will.
Right.
And number five, God's plan always overcomes all.
Yes.
God's plan overcomes all.
Yes.
Now I'm going to, the sermon today is not going to be long. It's just going to be full. All righty. All right, I want to start once again at the end. I'm going to remind you again. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. And the only way I can tell you to do this, let me instruct you just a moment on how to read the Bible. Never read a story. You be the story. You'll waste your time reading a story if you don't become the story. If God doesn't become God, and you don't become whoever that is He's talking about. Okay? But as for you, how would you like to say that right now? How would you like to sit in a throne and speak to the problem people? Those problems in your life. If God could trust you this very minute to sit in a throne, what would you say to the people that have done you wrong? Would you say, oh, okay. It's okay. It's God's will. Come on, I'm asking you a question. Let me read you 20 and 21 so you'll understand the point, since you're going to get in this seat. 20, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. Verse 21, now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And He comforted them and spoke kindly to them. I ask you again. I almost say to something to you and me both. Maybe the reason we're not having that seat right now is we're not able to put God above the problem. We can't say about the problem, there is no problem. This was God's will, and I am perfectly okay with it. So much okay that I don't even feel bad about you. Let me say it another way. God used you even when you didn't want to be used. That's why I'm here. You put me here. Wouldn't that be cool if we could get so mature in Christ Jesus that we could look at every problem and say, you, the problem, put me here. Where is here? Ruling over you.
That's right.
Amen. Isn't that what Christ Jesus did at the cross?
Yes.
One long, hard day, and He put us in control.
Amen.
Why? So we could just beat up and kill people? No. So that we can be smart enough, so we can be strong enough, we can be wise enough to say even to our enemies, without you, I couldn't be here. That's what He just told of those evil, conniving, killing brothers.
That's right.
Without you, God couldn't have done what He needed to do. He's nearly saying, I thank you, I'm going to care for you, and I'm going to feed you because you obeyed God. Now, you want to talk about putting salt in a wound. Say to your enemies, because you obey to God, I'm stronger, bigger, I've been promoted. By the way, you do know that it was up to them to bow to the brother. If they hadn't bowed, it was their choice. They could have starved to death. It's their choice. So when they made this choice to bow to Him, then He could also honor them as doing God's will. What was His dream? Remember His dream?
Yeah.
They would bow, right?
Yeah.
They would bow. They have now fulfilled the plan of God in His dream. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
Joseph did not start here. The problem is this is where we want to start. We want to start being victorious without any battle. We want to go to prayer And we want an instant victory, and we don't want to pay one penny's worth of price. He ended the statement in faith just like he began his walk in faith. Believing God was in control. He thought it to be a dream. Others thought it to be ego. And decided to murder him and the vision. Then there's a Reuben. He suffered at the hands of the enemies. Their attempt to steal and to kill the dream. I'm not getting through to you. I don't know if y'all are dense this morning or what. But I'm telling you something. When you get this down, when you can get it in your heart that the things that you've been through, it isn't about you. It was about the attempt to kill God.
Yes.
To kill the will of God. To kill the plan of God. To kill, now that we've got the oversight here, or the overvision, to kill tens of thousands of people through famine. That was the enemy's design. To kill the plan of God, the people of God, the will of God through famine. Joseph's job was to do the will of God, no matter if he understood it or not, to prevent the famine and save many lives. And Joseph was smart enough to understand, even when he was elevated and promoted, it's not about me. There's the other part of this we've got to be careful for. I don't care if God ever elevates you or not, it makes no difference. He's not a respecter of men or man. So it doesn't make any difference if you're wearing the Pharaoh's ring or you're second in command. You still are no better than the one that God was saving from the famine. In fact, you're that servant's servant.
That's right.
He was placed in command to save the people from starvation. So he was working for God and those people that were starving.
That's right.
So his brothers walk in and said, "Oh, yeah, you're the people I'm working for." Come on.
Yeah.
Saints need to remember, sinners are who you're working for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those that are lost are who you're working for. Come on. He was a slave to others, and he was a slave to the will of God at the same time. All right. Y'all ever thought about being a slave? You need to. Because it's a great place to be. If you can be a slave to the will of God, then you understand you're a slave to the people. Because the people are the will of God. Right?
Right.
You're not the will of God. You're just one in the billion in the will of God.
Yes.
And you may have to do what Joseph, you may have to go through some things so that you can provide for others.
Praise the Lord.
So what? So what? See, I'm one of those warring types. Somebody wants to fight me, I want to kill them. And I forget that God may be trying to work in them. No, God, let me work in them. That'd be my argument with God. No. Just, I'll take care of it. The other thing you can see as you read these chapters is that God was promoting even when he went to the pit. Did you hear me? He was promoting when he was sold into slavery. God was promoting him.
Yes.
Our problem is that we only want our promotions to come in a certain way.
Yes.
They need to look and feel a certain way.
Right.
Y'all going to hit this again, but I'm going to read it to you right quick. Whoops. Chapter 39. All right, let's start with verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of the Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Okay, great position, guys. Listen to me. Second in command, not yet. He was sold into slavery, and the captain of the guard in Egypt bought him. How would you like it? I'm a man of God. Good, I'll give you a nickel for you. I'll give him a nickel for you. Now you're mine, man of God. This is where we are. Verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. Wait a minute. He just got bought. He just got bought. He's a slave. And God is saying, and Joseph is saying, the Lord is with me. I'm a successful man. See how you're supposed to talk when you're at your rock bottom? And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Wait a minute. He was a slave. What was your problem last week? What was your problem last month? What were you complaining to God about? What were you worried about? You weren't a slave. Verse 2, he was a successful man. He was in the house of the master of the Egyptian. Verse 3, and the master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Now that's a cool statement. We get all excited. But who was he prospering? He was prospering his owner. His owner saw or felt the prosperity. What am I trying to say? What am I trying to say here? Verse 4, so Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Too many times the reason we don't have favor is we don't serve. We forget what this is all about. We think it's about me when we don't understand it's about them. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. Why? Because he's making him so much money. He wasn't making himself any money. He was making his owner money. Why was he second in command at the end of his term here that we're studying? Because he was making the country wealthy. Because if you read this story, you're going to find out that Joseph didn't give the food away. He made Pharaoh wealthy. Wonder how much he was making, Harry. Never once did it say that he made a dime. Now, I know he was enjoying a wealthy lifestyle. I'm not saying that. But it never said that Joseph got wealthy. Now, I think he got wealthy. Yeah, he prospered. I think he got wealthy because I think he was born into wealth. And I think he got some of his father's wealth, and I think he got some of Pharaoh's wealth. I'm not questioning that. But what if in your life you never get wealthy? If you can't hear this message if you won't turn off today's Christian television. Because that's all they're teaching now is you got to get wealthy. God wants to make you wealthy. God wants to make you wealthy. What if he wants to use you to make somebody else wealthy? We don't like that thought. We want to rebel, which is basically saying I'm rebelling against the will of God. He didn't say he wouldn't take care of you to make somebody else wealthy. The scripture never says that. He says, I know the thoughts I have for you. They're good. They're to prosper you. Yeah, but I'm working for this guy and he's making a whole lot more money than I am. Oh, no. Nah. Take that. Take a number. Take it to the complaint department. Take it on down the hall. Why can't we get this? Why do I have such a hard time with this? Why do you? Why do we have a hard time with this? From the time he was a young man until now, it never looked like God's will was ever going to happen. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
That's right.
Because what we want is we want God's will now. And if you'll read those chapters, you're going to find out there was a lot of water under the bridge before 50-20. A lot of water under the bridge. A lot of time spent in prison. A lot of time serving the prison guard. A lot of time, a lot of things went under the bridge. We need to be patient in God's will if we believe we're on God's radar screen. Right? All right. The only way he overcame all of this is he had faith in God. The only way you're ever going to overcome anything, the only way you're ever going to accomplish anything, is that you got to know God well enough to know that he doesn't hurt people.
That's right.
Okay? And that includes even those that are used for other people's purposes. He doesn't hurt that person. The whole plan is good. Good for who? Good for them, good for you, good for the kingdom, good for the world.
Yeah.
That's who God is.
Amen.
That's who He is. But I feel like in my instance, He forgot me. Keep saying it. Just keep saying it and see where it gets you.
Yeah.
That's right. And will it get you backwards?
That's right.
You may end up in the pit a little longer. You may be a slave a little longer. Why don't you just let loose and let God's will happen?
Amen.
Let this trek that's going to happen in your life. Remember I told you a while back, and it kind of skipped over. It's like a pebble on water. It kind of skipped over you a little bit. If you knew your future, you would have no future. If you knew your future, you would have no future. Part of the joy of life is you don't know what tomorrow holds.
Right.
You just know who holds tomorrow.
Yes.
That's what causes the joy. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm going to wake up tomorrow, and just as He watched over Joseph, He's got me. When I get worried about the problem, I'm going to look at God and say, "You got me." See? I can use that as a promise or a threat, either way. But I remind God. I remind Him this week. It's me. Here I am. You don't like me? Change me. But I'm here. That's who I am. I'm doing my dead level best. What you up to? I'm not being accusatory. I'm not being a rebellion. Let me remind you something. No matter how you pray, there's only one God.
That's right.
And you're in trouble if you smart off to Him. So don't even think you can go there. There's only one remedy. And I don't care. The Scripture says kind of, I'm going to use the word comedy because that's where we have to laugh at things once in a while. Though you slay me, the Scripture says.
Yes.
Though you slay me.
Yes.
What's He saying? There is no other God. There is no other God. No matter what I see, no matter what I feel, no matter what I think or don't think, I can be a rock with no thought process and there's no other God. I can have thought processes running like a stream through my mind and there's still only one God. I can think of 10,000 ways I can get rich and there's still one God. And it's going to be His way. Not going to make it without Him. You're not going to make it. You're going to make it to hell. That's about all. And I hate to say that, but that's the truth. God's will requires our lifetime to fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Here's the thing that we're not taught in church, taught when we're coming up. It takes a lifetime to fulfill God's will in me. What's a lifetime? Don't know. Haven't finished it yet. I know He's still working. I know it's going to come to pass. When are you going to stand up and speak like, I don't know. But I know it's going to happen.
Yes.
The Bible says that I will see my enemies defeated right before my eyes.
Right.
Isn't that what Joseph saw?
Yes.
Stood there, and yet he still had grace and mercy on his enemies. Why? Because God is up to destroying enemies, not me. I'm up providing. Here's what I'm required to do. I have to provide what they need. Let's just stomp and spit for a minute and get it out of our system. I am here to provide what they need. What did it say? What did He say about His brothers? What did it say when He said 50-20? Actually, it's later than 20. 21, 22. What did it say? I just read it to you a while ago. You thought it was all about your evil. God knew it was about His good. But then this is what He said, verse 21. Now therefore do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. The stomp and spit. I don't like that. Why don't you all just be honest? I don't like that. I spit, now I can stomp. Oh, y'all not being honest with me. You know this doesn't go down well.
You're right.
Y'all can grumble and do it now, right here before God, so we can get it out of our system. Don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And He comforted them and spoke kindly to them. All He had to do is say, not them. All He had to do He was in total charge of their future. And all he had to do, and he did, he reminded them. In verse 50, he didn't let them get off scot-free. I mean, verse 20. I'm in Exodus, don't do that. But as for you, you meant evil against me. He got it out of his system. I know who you are. And I know what you tried to do. But I want to remind you that God made you do it. God made you do that. You were obeying God and you didn't even know it. Why don't we get smart enough to understand that about our enemies? You're doing exactly what God wants you to do, to cause something in my life to be fulfilled. Well, I don't think God put that story in there so we can read about Joseph and his Technicolor dream coat. I don't think that's what that was in there for. Makes a good little Bible story for children, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm a big child now, and I need some depth, and I need some meat. So this is giving me understanding about things. You cry out to God about your problem. Don't tell him about them. Just remind him you're still alive here, and you need life preserver or something. And watch him explain some things to you. With understanding. Spirit of truth, Harry. Spirit of truth. You can't have understanding without the spirit of truth. Because only understanding can only come through truth. Otherwise, you just understand things wrong. Requires a lifetime fulfill. In that time, we are challenged and tempted to quit.
Yes.
By the enemy. Only the willing and the faithful will endure. The only way to come forth as a conqueror, or more than a conqueror, is to conquer.
Right.
Who? Me. Me. Jesus has already conquered everything else. You hear me? Now it's up to me to conquer me.
Yes.
And walk in His conquering.
Yes.
I'm for that. Believe me, I'm for that. Do we have the faith and the trust in the Holy Spirit that we are on God's path for the completion of His will? One of the things in the study of the Holy Spirit that we've been doing on Wednesday night that's being revealed to me is that I must have faith not only in God, but in the Holy Spirit. God does not step in front of me and scream in my face. He's on the throne. He's going to stay on the throne. But by His Spirit, I am told, turn to the left, turn to the right, take this step, yes, say these things, pray this way. That's the things we've been finding out on Wednesday night. Even pray this way. So I have to have confidence that some of my goofy steps are ordered by God. Some of the places that I'm at right now, like Joseph, they were ordered by God.
Amen.
All right, you got it, God. Do we truly believe that God has our best always on His mind?
Yeah.
Even if we don't do things just right?
Yeah.
Even if we are Joseph when we shoot our mouth off a little prematurely?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, here we go back to our understanding. Well, if he hadn't shot his mouth off prematurely, they wouldn't have sold him into slavery and he wouldn't end up second to Pharaoh.
Right.
So it wasn't premature. Now, what reason I said that is because the enemy's always faithful to tell you how wrong you've done everything from birth.
Yes, yes, that's right.
And the Holy Spirit is here to minister to you, saying, I had it under control. I'm not bigger than your mouth. I found myself talking to God about that, confessing. See, do I think that I am big enough to foul up God's will? Ah, it's not much of a God I serve. If I say something wrong, do something wrong, think something wrong, is that such a powerful force in this world that it can absolutely destroy the will of God?
No.
What's the only answer? It can be no. Then I have to move in the no. I have to move in now what I know about the no. I have to get busy. Doesn't make any difference. Because whatever problem you're in, whatever problem you're having, the enemy is faithful to come and tell you it's your fault.
Yes.
Well, of course it's your fault. Now that we got that out of the way, is God in control?
Yes.
Well, who else is going to take credit or blame for my life but me?
Mm-hmm.
The trouble in the United States is nobody wants to do that. They want to blame somebody else.
Right.
They want to blame a major corporation, file suit, all this idiot stuff that's going on. No, It's my fault. I step in something, it's my shoe to clean. Not to whine and say, why did you cause me to step in that? Don't get it clean so you can make some more false steps. God's in control.
Amen.
If it's according to our understanding, we made the mistake. Joseph's understanding, we were led every step of the way.
Amen.
Come on. I don't care what's on your shoe. I don't care how deep you've been in the pit. I don't care how much you sold yourself or somebody sold you. God was in control.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
That's why you are to give Him thanks and praise always in all things. Are we willing to endure what we see and trade it for the glory we've not yet seen? Who? Come on. That's kind of worth writing down. If not, then you can get the CD and listen to it again. Are we willing to endure what we see, which is by faith, trading it for the glory we've not yet seen? But we fully expect, by the way.
Amen.
We fully expect.
Amen.
When your expector dies, you're dead.
Yeah.
I want to tell you about that. When your expector dies, you're dead. They need to... I know you may still, your heart still may be beating, but somebody just needs to kick you in the grave and cover you over. Because now you're just an anchor on the movement of the world. Are we willing to endure and even go far enough to say, I praise you, God, in the problem we see, waiting, expecting the glory that we've not yet seen? Gene, you got some glory you've not yet seen? Oh, yeah. Come on. Right from here. Flex those muscles a little bit. Oh, yeah. Because that makes you feel good. Growl. A little growl in the voice. Oh, yeah. All right. Second record. I'm through. God's through. He's given you meat. He's given you hope. He's given you future. He's convinced you, reconvinced you, convinced you again. Everybody says amen?
Amen.
All right. Stand with me. I've had one of the biggest struggles I've ever had in my life this last week. And it's over nothing. It's absolutely over nothing. How do I know it's over nothing? Because now I'm standing in Joseph's place looking at that problem and seeing that I'm already victorious. That there's nothing that I'm going through that God hasn't already taken care of.
Yeah.
And that I don't have a worry in the world. Praise you, Lord. And I place my worry, and I place my questions, and I place my stress under my feet, under your feet. And I place that worry. I put up with it as I push it to one side, looking for the glory that's not yet seen. For that thing, that plan. I know that plan that you have for me, that good one, that prosperous one, that forceful, strong, big one. You don't mess in little things. You mess in big things. You make that happen. That's what we're looking for right now, Lord. So we receive the Spirit of truth, the truth that passes all understanding. And we trade our spirit in for that spirit right now in Jesus' name. We rest in you, expect in you. Hallelujah. I believe, as I walked in here this morning, as I watched things, as I saw things, as I saw different people and the way they were reacting to different things, I'm going to tell you that God has created growth in this place.
Yes.
Tremendous growth. I can't tell you what it's not up to me to tell you what I've seen. But this morning I am greatly encouraged in the growth that I've seen in this house. The way you're looking at things, the way you're understanding things. I'm thankful for what God is doing in Art and Deborah's life. But I'm thankful what God is doing in every one of your lives.
Yes.
I am totally, totally, not a patient man. I want to see more. But I am so thankful for what I've seen. Thank you, Lord. I'm thankful for what God has shown me this week, what He's shown me this morning. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Now I ask you, are all hearts clear? Do you have anything you need us to pray with you about? And please, we're interested in every little detail, but for this morning, let them be at least an important matter to God. Those little things, call somebody in the church and ask them to agree with you. But we're talking about those things in the future, those things that hold your future. If we need to agree with you this morning, pray with you this morning, feel free to come forward. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, it's time. It's time. If you don't know that God is in control, we need to pray with you. It's time. If you don't know that God has your life under control, we need to pray with you. It's time. It's time. No problem too big for God. No problem. Don't you be the problem. Praise you, Lord. All hearts clear? The one thing I won't do is talk you into praying. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Yes. Let me be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears. Hallelujah, Lord. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice and my heart and my hands to worship you. Soul, I command you to rejoice. You take joy, my King. My King. In what you hear, may it be a sweet, sweet song. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we want to be a sweet sound, yes, and a sweet smell.
Yes.
Cause us to give you praise continuously in what we understand, what we don't understand, and what we see, what we don't see. We know you. We know you are the future. Let us praise you in that continuously. Seal this message this morning in our hearts. Seal it for eternity that we're always after you, looking for you, expecting to speak to our enemies and saying, don't be afraid. God is in control. Cause us to prosper and be in health because of your truth. In this, we give you praise. We thank you in advance. And everybody that agrees says, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for being here. Hallelujah. Keep us in your prayers. It's all right. Keep us in your prayers. We're going to make a quick trip to Kentucky and back. We're going to pick up some freight, make some money off of it, and see the kids. Let me tell you something else. We won't be here next Sunday. Don't you miss church. It's going to be good. I prophesy it's going to be good. But Rob is coming down. He's going to meet us there. That's why we're going to stay the weekend. We load our load Friday, but Rob is going to be there. He needs encouragement. He needs direction. He'll be out of the military come October, and he needs a place to go.
Yes.
And right now the enemy's trying to confuse him. So we're taking care of about four things while we're there. You guys hold us up so that we take care of them according to the will of God.
Amen.
And I thank you now.
Amen.
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 The priestly blessing that I am supposed to speak, here it is. I want to read the Living Bible because I think it's a good version. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord's face radiate with joy because of you. Someday, I pray that you see the Lord's face radiate because of you. May he be gracious to you, show you his favor, and give you his peace. Be blessed in Jesus' name.